Your conference is being recorded.
Great. So I think I have a couple of people in the chat room. If you're not, that's okay. I will make sure that we go through everything clearly. So welcome. This is our first of four conference calls for RP-102 Evaluation and Recreation. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting it from the traditional territory of the Kwamlyn Dunford Nation and Tongass Squatchin Council. We'll do a round of introductions first, but I'll just do a little bit of an introduction to the learning event. This learning event, Evaluation in Recreation, is one of our advanced learning events, and it's probably the hardest one out of them. So bear with me for it. We're looking to really dig into evaluation so that you understand how it fits as part of the recreation programming cycle. So we're going to approach evaluation from that programming perspective, looking at special events, projects, and the delivery of recreation services. As you probably already know, a good evaluation can assess progress, identify opportunities and successes, guide decisions, and or foster a better understanding of the benefits of recreation. So if you've had a chance to look at the presentation slides or have them open in front of you, slide number four shows you the objectives, the learning objectives. So we're going to understand how evaluation contributes to how we program and provide services in recreation. We'll be designing or developing a basic evaluation plan, and together we're going to design and use a simple evaluation tool. I know that sounds overwhelming, but I will be doing some of that work for you with your ideas. So as I mentioned, this is an advanced learning event. It goes over 4 weeks, and each week we have a required learning activity and a conference call. Because this is an advanced learning event and it's a prerequisite to the Northern Pathway that we're establishing with CPRA to their nationally recognized professional development certificate, we're looking for you to demonstrate your critical thinking and writing skills and also an application of what you're learning. So I just wanted to put that out there. So we do have a few new people on the call, people who are newer to the training program and people who've been with us for a while, like Thorsten. So what I'd like to do is ask you to introduce yourself, include your name, your role, and your community, and then share two factors that could influence how you approach evaluation. So I'm going to go first. Thorsten, if you're able to, I'll ask you to pop your answer in the chat and then I can read it. I'm going to put the question in the chat and then we'll go from myself to Spider to Anne to Tegan. That's the order that we joined the call. So just to give you an example of how I would answer this in the introduction, I'm going to say I'm Caroline Sparks. I'm Recreation North's learning consultant living in Whitehorse. And I've been doing evaluation work for RPA, the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, for I think this year it's 20 years, so we're clocking the time there. Two things that I think about when I consider an evaluation are, first, how much time do I have to do the evaluation? And secondly is, what will the organization that I'm doing the evaluation for use, or how will they use that evaluation? So the time frame that I have and how the evaluation will be used. So Spider, let's go to you. If you could introduce yourself and share two factors that you think might influence how you approach evaluation.
Yes, hi, Spider Jones. I work at Sport North Federation here at Yellowknife. I'm a multi-sport executive director for wrestling and athletics, but I also do special projects work for Sport North. How I would approach it is approach an evaluation. My evaluation would be against proposal objectives that were used to secure the initial funding. I would want to make sure that my evaluation would be upholding the mission and values of my employer, Sport North Federation. Those are two that come to mind most immediately.
That's great. Thanks, Spider. So I like how it's not only about what you put the project in for, but it also is a benchmark against what your organization, was set out to accomplish. So two very important underlying pieces to evaluation that need to be considered. So thank you. Anne, if you're still on the call, I think I haven't heard you disconnect. So would you like to introduce yourself and share two factors that you think might influence how you would approach evaluation?
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, awesome. Well, my name is Anne Morgan, and I work with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon as their executive director, and I've been there for 20 years with Caroline, and I think for me, when I choose an evaluation project, I'm going to look at one of our existing programs, and one that I think we need to kind of have another look at to see if it's still working the way that we have it set up. And I think when I do that, I'm going to choose a program that we want to continue operating so that it, we're sort of setting a framework that will provide success for an existing program as we possibly change how we deliver it. And I'm going to want to make sure that we tie it back to our strategic plan for the organization, as well as our work plans that align with the funding that we have to deliver programs. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be great.
That's awesome. So then, Anne, in your evaluation design or your approach, again, as Spider mentioned, you're looking back to your strategic plan. So you're looking at what you plan, you know, your organization and what your mandate is. You're looking at what the funders who funded this are looking for. But also you're looking at sort of a developmental process. So what can you learn about what you've done so far, and how can you use that to inform where you go in the future? So that's sometimes we refer to that as developmental evaluation, because we're getting information to influence what happens in the future with something that we're already doing. So thanks for sharing that. Over to you, Tegan, then. Tegan, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and if there's two factors that influence how you might approach evaluation, if you could share those. Tegan, I can't hear you. I'm not sure if you're on mute or if
Hi.
You, there we go. That's okay.
My name is Tegan. I work at the Human Genome Project Center. What were the questions again?
Just what might influence how you would approach doing evaluation? What could influence this?
My answer, I guess, would be just to determine. Evaluation for me is just to determine what is good and what is bad, what is working, what is not, because I don't want to be wasting money on something that kids aren't interested in. So, because I work with youth in my position, but I think it would just mainly have me do an evaluation after every project, because kids don't know what they like, and they don't know what they want sometimes, and they might like something that's hidden, and they might not like something. So that's when I would do an evaluation, I guess. I don't know.
Great. So similar to what Anne suggested, then, is you are running a program that you're going to continue, but you might use an evaluation to see what's working or where there are opportunities to change what you're doing. So I think that those, you know, that's a really important approach. That type of idea in your mind is why you're doing the evaluation, and it will definitely influence how you approach evaluation. So that's great. Thank you. Thorsten, I'm not sure if you're able to chat yet or not. Just jump in if you can. But Thorsten's also on the call. He's in the chat, and Thorsten is in the Dacho region, and he is the physical literacy coordinator for the Dacho and NWT and lives in Fort Providence. So he's sort of multitasking. He's on a couple of calls at the same time. So thanks, Thorsten. Thorsten's also the one, sometimes he's driving to the airport and he joins the call. So we're definitely flexible about how you guys participate in learning events. So thanks, Thorsten. So thanks, everyone, for your introductions. It's great to have a couple of people from the Yukon and a couple from NWT as well. As you've described, there are different things that will affect how we approach an evaluation that we might choose to do. So I'm going to roll through a few of the slides just to make sure that I've hit on some of the key points for you. And after I've gone through them, or because we have such a small group, if you have a question, I don't mind you interrupting or just speaking up because we don't have too many people on the call. So if you have the slides in front of you, that's great. If not, no worries. I'll talk through them. So this learning event is laid out in 4 weeks, as I mentioned. So this week is all about understanding evaluation. Next week, we're going to look at, you know, planning for evaluation. Then it'll be the doing evaluation and then using evaluation. So 4 different parts or themes for each week. So as slide 8 shows you, evaluation is, I consider it part of our programming process in recreation, and it can be a very small part that if you're only responsible for a set of programs, or it can be a very big part that if you're responsible for a larger organization or a community. So it can be as big or small, that programming process is as big or small as you think you might want it to be. So what is evaluation? Well, it's definitely not something that we just want to randomly do because it sounds good to do it. And once every 5 years. Evaluation isn't a test, and it's not even a judgment, and it's not the same thing as research. But evaluation in that programming cycle can feel like a lot of extra work, but it's still a really important part because, as both Anne and Tegan mentioned, you want to see if your programs are doing what you want them to do, and as Spider mentioned, you want to touch that back into what your objectives were and also into what your organization is supposed to do, because you want to put your effort and time and resources into something that's meaningful. So slide 9 is a definition from the Canadian Evaluation Society, but really it just points out that evaluation is purposeful and it's a process, and it's designed to help improve what we're doing, or we can use it to prove that what you're doing works. So when we pilot tested the training program for Recreation North, we not only looked at what we could change, but we also wanted to prove, is what we're doing worthwhile continuing to do? Does it actually work? So evaluation can do a number of different things. If you have a clear purpose, then evaluation can help you measure your progress and look for gaps. So it provides evidence. Evaluation is about giving us evidence. It helps us make good decisions, and it also helps us, as all of you've mentioned, deliver the right programs and services to the right people. I have my tip of the week for you, though, and it's you cannot evaluate everything, and not everything needs to be evaluated. So sometimes we try and do a lot more than what we can actually do, so we have to be strategic about that and think about what we want to evaluate and evaluate the things that are most meaningful. So slides 10 to 16 look at the approach to evaluation. So it looks at why we want to evaluate, what we want to evaluate, when, who is involved in evaluation, and how you evaluate. And so you can see, if you look at slide 10, there's things, Tegan, you mentioned working with youth programs. So one of the things is, how can we reach older youth, or what types of youth programs are needed in our community? Spider, you might sometimes ask, how does our programming impact quality of life? How does it impact physical activity levels, things like that? So those are some of the evaluation questions that we might ask. Slide 11 talks about what we evaluate, and this is an important thing to recognize, because I said that we can't evaluate everything. So sometimes what you might do is you will look at the processes, outcomes, or impacts. So let me explain that. So processes is looking at how well you're doing your work. It might include things like, did we have enough resources allocated to this? Did we have enough staff people? Were the activities of engaging stakeholders what we thought it would do? So processes are about the process evaluation is about how you're doing your work. outcomes is more about the results that you're getting from your work. And outcomes are a result of what you do. So processes lead to outcomes. And then impacts is broader. So impacts is a combined effect of the outcomes and results of your work on others. So really, you know, when we talk about the benefits of recreation, we're somewhat looking for outcomes, but we're really looking for those impacts. So each evaluation that you do is going to be different. Slide 12 shows you that, you know, you can evaluate a different time in a cycle. You can evaluate before you do something, and that might look at needs or where the opportunities are. You might look at evaluating during something. So Tegan, that's what you're doing, you know, mentioned with your program. Or you might look at afterwards if you did a specific project and it's wrapped up. So when you evaluate and the timing can influence how you approach evaluation. Who is in part of an evaluation is also really important because evaluation influences programming decisions. We need to make sure that we involve participants and stakeholders and that people understand how it will be used. So if you're looking at the slides, you can see on slide 14 that if we put why, what, when, and who together, that will influence the approach that, how we will approach evaluation. That's an awful lot of information in a small amount of time. So I'm just going to go around and ask if you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to share. So, Spider, any question, comment, or something you're wondering about or reflecting on from this part of the content?
I think it's very interesting. Can you give that second part of the tip? You can't evaluate everything.
Yes, I'll pop it in the chat for you. You're still in the chat, right?
Yeah, in the chat.
Okay, so you cannot evaluate everything, and sometimes we try really hard to, but this is even more important. Not everything needs to be evaluated. So for some of you, when in our last learning event, which was the reporting one in your first RLA when you developed a tool, I asked, if you go back and look at some of my feedback to people, it was like, what's the purpose for that question? If you're not going to get any rich information out of something that you're exploring, don't do it. So we don't need to evaluate everything. So you want to be strategic because evaluation can be a lot of work. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Anne, any reflections, questions, comments on just sort of how we approach evaluation?
I just would like to shift that in the past, like years back, I never did evaluation because it used to frighten me because you don't want to talk to people and find out you're doing a terrible job, right? Or whatever. People don't like what you're doing. And so I didn't embrace evaluation until working with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon and learning more about it. And I think what I would say that you spoke about is that it's really about just learning more how to make your programs better. Like I have found it a really interesting process. And I would say that Caroline's been working with our organization for a long time, and it has truly positioned us for success because we can show to funders and other leaders how what we're doing is working well, and when it's not working well, what to change. So it's a super valuable process. So I really appreciate being able to participate in this.
Thanks, Dan. So hopefully this process is scary for you.
No, the scary part, I can't find the slide yet, but
And you're right, like evaluation should not be a judgment or a test of, you know, it shouldn't judge what you did. Like what it looks for, and this is sort of my background in community development, I believe that everything has strong points about it, but I also believe that we can find ways and opportunities to strengthen, build on those strengths and do more with what we're doing. So to me, evaluation isn't looking at, you know, yeah, we need to know if something isn't working, but we can also reframe that question so it's not what's not working, but we look for opportunities to do something a bit more or opportunities to build on what is working. So I think it's really important that we have that mindset, and it works really well in our small communities. I've worked in quite a number of small communities in the Yukon and, you know, more remotely with other communities. And if we go in, like if I go in as an outsider with that mindset that, you know, this community, there's deficits or there's things wrong or we're trying to find out what's not working, it puts up a lot of roadblocks and barriers for working with a community. But if you can go in to a community or an evaluation or an organization and look at what is working and where are the opportunities to continue that or expand on that, it makes a much more positive experience for everybody. So thanks, Anne. That's a really good point to raise. Tegan, do you have any reflections or questions or comments on how we approach evaluation?
I do not think so.
Okay, that's okay, because remember my sort of practice that listening is just as valuable as sharing. So we don't always have to have something to say when I ask a question, and that is totally okay. You know, reflect on it, and maybe something will come to you later, and you can share it later on in the call if you want to. So thank you. Thorsten, I'm guessing you're still on your other call, so I won't ask you if you have any questions so far. You can jump in when you're ready. So, and all good on my end. Thanks, Thorsten. That's why I like the chat. So you can multitask. So moving on, what I'd like to do is share our perspectives, and there's no right or wrong answers here, just we're going to have a bit of a sharing circle, a conversation on an evaluator's role and responsibilities. So understanding the role and responsibilities of the person who's sort of in charge of an evaluation or doing an evaluation is really important to understand. It doesn't matter if you're the person doing the evaluation or if you're working with someone who's doing it for you or with you. Still want to understand sort of what those roles and responsibilities are. So you can find the questions on 517, or I'm going to pop them into the chat. And I have three different questions. You do not have to answer all of them. You can just answer whichever one kind of comes into mind. So let me go through the first three. And Spider, I'm just going to put you on the spot again because we've got a really small circle, so it probably works best to stick in that order. So the questions that you can choose to answer one or more of is, what does an evaluator do? To whom is an evaluator accountable? And what types of bias might an evaluator hold? So, Spider, any thoughts about any of those questions?
On that concept of bias that an evaluator may have, I wonder sometimes if there may be a tacit, unspoken need to reflect success, that if perhaps to get future money or even to keep you employed. It's unfortunate that we do stuff with maybe the hammer holding over our heads, and if it doesn't work out, is that the death knell in our employment, because we put in for a project, got some money, worked to put it in play, wasn't successful in maybe fully instituting or getting the accolades that we thought we might get when we do the evaluation, and then is that mean that we're subject to personal penalty and our job might be in jeopardy?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that can either, like you pointed out, that can affect you personally in your role. It can affect your organization or your relationship with a funder, perhaps, right? So one of the things that came to my mind when you're talking as an example is I've worked with evaluation with the Public Health Agency of Canada for quite a bit. And if you think about evaluating physical activity in a rigid sort of setting in a city in a big urban area versus evaluating physical activity and impact in our small northern rural communities, very different in the expectations about what should be done in that evaluation and how it ends up and are different. And, you know, Spider, you said you went into BetchCo to do a course, and I think you mentioned one day you had only two people. Well, two people in your, that community might be successful, but somebody from Toronto might think that's a failure too. So definitely sometimes I think that, you know, that bias is we're trying to make it look good so that we look good or our organization looks good. So thanks for pointing that out. Let's go to Anne, and I'll come back around in case you have any more thoughts too, so it's not just a one-time opportunity. So Anne, any thoughts on what an evaluator does, to whom an evaluator is accountable, or what types of bias might an evaluator hold?
I'm going to think about that. Like, I really like, I think it was Spider that was just talking. Amazing. Yeah, that totally, I echo exactly what you just said. Because I think there is that sort of fear factor, right? That, oh my gosh, we've just done a pilot project and it didn't work all that well, so we're not going to get the funding to do it again. But I think the beauty of the evaluation really is that it's like storytelling, right? Like, it's like, okay, well, we tried it, it failed. Like, it wasn't successful because of these reasons, but we'd like to do it, continue to do it because we've learned from that and want to change it moving forward, and being able to show that, you know, these were some of the successes and how we can maybe change things to do it better the next time. And I think, like, sharing those stories, because we do that too. We report to those big organizations that fund us sometimes, and being able to share that story, it's like, well, we had someone in one of our programs that had a lifestyle change. Like, she wasn't as isolated as she was before, and that's a huge success. It might have only been one person, but still a huge success for the program. So choosing those stories to sort of emphasize the successes moving forward and the things you could change that you've learned by evaluating. I have no idea if that answered your question, Caroline, but that's what comes to mind for me.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. So, you know, under what does an evaluator do, I put they find, choose, and share stories. So, you know, I would say that's a big one, especially in our small communities. So that's something that you need to task an evaluation with doing, especially in recreation. It's really important because those stories are inspiring for other people. You sort of alluded to whom an evaluator is accountable. So if you think of doing an evaluation, you kind of mentioned funders. So is an evaluator accountable to funders, or who is an evaluator accountable to? Any ideas, Anne?
Yeah, to the organization, I would say. If I'm going to engage in an evaluation, it's going to be our organization that sets the parameters and the scope for that process and what it is that we're looking for, because it's us that need to know. It's us, the organization, that needs to know how to change things or celebrate success as well. So that's what I would think, is it's the organization, maybe.
Okay. I'm going to ask Tegan now, and Tegan, I think you know the answer for this one. Anna sort of mentioned that an evaluator is responsible or accountable to the organization doing the evaluation. It might also be responsible to the funder. But from a community perspective, think of, you know, an Indigenous community, and somebody's doing evaluation on a program. Who is that evaluator accountable or responsible to? Can you think of that, Tegan, from your perspective? Because you're working with Skookum Jim, and I think you've got a lot of experience in that area. So any thoughts about who else an evaluator might be accountable to, or how that works with community?
Well, I don't know if this is the right answer, but it would be like probably to my funder, my boss, to the community youth even, for what I'm offering to them. It's basically an evaluation is basically telling me, like I said, what is good and what is bad, like what is benefiting the community. So it would be good for my boss to have as well, because they are my supervisors.
That's great. If you collect stories from a community, who do those stories belong to?
The center? I don't know.
Yeah, the center, but also the community. So I think what I'm getting at, I'll just jump in there for you. They'll put you on the spot. But I like how you said you're also accountable to the participants in your program. So you said to the youth that are part of your program, you're accountable to them. So as an evaluator, you're not just accountable to the organization or funder that you're doing the evaluation for. You're accountable to the people that are participating in whatever it is that you're evaluating. So you need to be responsible in how you gather information from them and how you use that information.
Okay.
And so one of the things that I've learned working in the Yukon is that when I gather information from an Indigenous community or a First Nations community, that information isn't mine, even though I've gathered it. It still belongs to the community. So I'm actually, my highest level of accountability should be back to my participants or back to the community who's taken the risk and shared information about what's going on for them. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I think that that's an important thing to think of when you're doing evaluation. So anyway, just a suggestion. So thanks, Tegan. Any other thoughts, Tegan, about what an evaluator does or what types of bias you might have?
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, just what else does an evaluator do? Like what does an evaluator do? Is there a certain task, like they might gather information, but what else would they do?
I don't know. Once they gather it, they will put it together to determine, they'll go off with the evaluation since other programs could be created. Like, for say, if nobody liked ball hockey, but they liked ice hockey better, and nobody came to ball hockey, like, it would tell me, or like, if they preferred ice hockey, then I would just, like, slow down on the ball hockey and go more into the ice hockey type view. I don't know.
I think what you're saying is that in an evaluation, we're gathering information, but we also have to make sense of that information that we gather. If you only come up with, people don't like this program or nobody's going to the program, that's not helpful. So an evaluator needs to gather information, make sense of it, and make recommendations perhaps for moving forward. So that's something else that they might do. I'll just move on. Thorsten has said conflict of interest is a big one, and I asked him to explain that, and he said it can be a situation where a person is involved in both the evaluation role but is also working on the program or is maybe a parent of one of the participants. And that's a really good point. I do both planning and evaluation for ARTE, and I find sometimes, I have to use one hat or the other. I can't use both because you're working in different, it's important to be objective and step back as an evaluator so you can see the big picture and not bring the biases in. Spider, I'm just going to come back around, and if you don't have anything else to add, that's totally okay to say pass. Do you have any more thoughts about what an evaluator does, to whom an evaluator is accountable, or the types of bias an evaluator might hold? Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay, Anne, anything else to add to that conversation?
I guess the only thing that was super valuable, because you're right, like, we're accountable to the participants, right? That's kind of, for me, that would be why we were doing it. We want to provide a better service or a better program where people are being successful and the conflict part too, because I hadn't thought about that. It's like, well, if the evaluator is a program participant as well and they want the program to keep going, they might do the results, right? So I hadn't thought about that, but that's a really good point.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a lot of angles to think about it when you approach evaluation. And even if you're not the person doing the evaluation, but you're working with someone who's doing it for you, you want to sort of be aware of these. So, Tegan, any other last-minute thoughts or anything to add?
No. Learning as I go.
That's good. This is a learning event, so I'm glad. Wonderful. Thanks. And I learned, too, from you guys, because I think that's the important part of us sharing ideas, is that it lets us think about things a little bit more deeply when we share. So thank you. So what I'm going to do now, I think Thorsten's still on his other call. I just asked if he had anything else to add. But before we wrap up today's call, what I would like to do is I would like to talk about our fourth required learning activity, which is for week 4. I know it's a little ways off, but it's a special type of activity that we're going to do. Did somebody just jump in on the call, or did somebody drop and join again?
Sorry, that was me. The call dropped, and I just called back in. Sorry about that.
Okay. Awesome. I was just saying, Anne, that before we wrap up, I just want to talk about the last required learning activity from week 4, because this required learning activity you're going to focus on organizing, analyzing, interpreting data, and presenting what you find. So it's kind of like what Tegan was just talking about, that, you know, it's great to gather information, but you have to do something with it. So what we're going to do is I am going to support you guys for this required learning activity. I'm not going to dump a whole bunch of work on you. But what we're going to do is this week is I would like us to choose an evaluation topic and an approach. And then next week on our call, we're going to look at some questions and how we want to, what sort of tool we want to use for those. Then I'm going to prepare the evaluation tool. You guys don't have to do that. But what you'll be responsible for is getting some people to provide the data, like to answer the tool. So we have to think of picking a topic that we know we can easily get people to answer a survey or answer 3 interview questions or something like that. Not something that's really complicated where you have to go out and hold 3 community meetings. I don't want to overwhelm you with this. So we need to have a good data set. Last year, what the group chose is they chose to evaluate people's experience in the advanced learning events, and they chose to do it both quantitatively with numbers and qualitatively, and they even wanted to use photos. So it was it wasn't a lot of people that were providing information into the data, but it was a lot of work for them to provide it. So just keep that in mind. What you end up doing is, for your 4th week required learning activity, I will give you the data, and you have to make sense of it. So you figure out what's important to present, 1 or 2 key findings, and then you present your findings. And I have included in week 4 a couple of examples from last year, so you can see I'm not looking for pages and pages. I'm looking for something fairly short and concise. So I'd like to sort of get your ideas. I have some ideas already, but I would like to know if you guys have any other ideas. So I'll pop my ideas in the chat and read them at the same time, because I think Spider's not, I think you dropped out of the chat there, Spider, and Tegan's not in the chat. So one of my ideas is we could look at how a recent event or a program influenced people's health behaviors. That could be easy enough if we pick the right thing, but it might be challenging because we're all in different communities. A broader question that we could look at is opportunities and challenges in your communities around engaging youth in recreation. So that's a lot broader, but you could find some useful information from doing that one. Another one that is useful for a lot of people in recreation that we could look at is how have patterns of recreation participation changed as a result of the pandemic? In other words, are people recreating differently now, and what are they doing that's different? So that's another one. And then my last one, and this one might be fun. I figured this one we could even, the Facebook poll or survey or something like that, It's how do we program the best ever family recreation activities or events? So in other words, what is it that we do that makes family recreation activities or events the best? So those are my four ideas. Spider, do you have any ideas for what we might be able to do as a group that might benefit everybody who's participating, or anything that you're interested in finding out about?
I think I'd be leaning toward the second one, opportunities and challenges communities experience around engaging youth in recreation. My perspective may be engaging in sport, but yeah, however the group wants to move forward, I'll be all in.
So we could do sport and recreation, and okay, probably from your perspective too, something around accessibility, right? Awesome. Do you have any other topics that I didn't introduce that you would be interested in learning about that might apply to us in UConn and UNWT?
I have to think of that some more, but not off the top of my head.
Okay. And how about yourself? Do you have a preference for one of the ones I shared, or do you have another idea that you would like to propose that we try?
Sorry, Carolyn, you're breaking up, but is this something we all do together, or is this something that I choose as my evaluation project for the course?
Well, actually, you could choose it as your own evaluation project for the course, but or for the learning event. But this is one that I'm actually going to create a tool that we will collect some information about. And then you guys will look at the information that's collected and determine what you find. So if we went with the opportunities and challenges around engaging youth in sport and recreation, we might create a survey, and you guys will each be responsible for having up to 5 people reply to that survey, or we can put it on the Rec North Facebook page or something like that and encourage people to participate. And then your task will be to look at what the information that we've gathered and figure out a couple of key things. So I don't want you to, you can also use the same topic for your evaluation plan if it's something you're really passionate about, but this is more the process of, for you, of once you have the data, how do you make sense of it? But I want to find something that's interesting for us all.
Interesting for me.
So, yeah.
Okay. I guess it's one of the things.
I seem to be losing you there. Can you still hear me? Okay.
So
I just heard your phone cut out. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm having so much trouble, but yeah, I was just thinking about. I would like to learn something about the Community Better Challenge and how to better engage people across the North in participating in that. So it's similar to what you were talking about with the youth, like how do we get people excited and interested in participating?
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Tegan, are there any of those ones that I read out or add ands in the Community Better Challenge? Anything that you'd like to try and it's for us as a group to tackle? Or are there any of those topics that are interesting to you? You might be on mute. Sorry, Tegan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I think that the engagement part, because I sometimes find, depending on the day, that I'm not as much engaging with the youth, like more of a positive way. How I perceive myself, but I don't know. But.
Okay, so how you... Like the behaviors and like the way you personally engage you?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, like how to get them interested because I know that when I was a youth doing youth stuff, it would always be certain people that were positive, hyped up, and really engaging that made me want to go back because I felt comfortable with that type of person. But if, like, the person was too strict or something, I always felt like I couldn't express myself, basically. So, I don't know. If that makes sense.
That would be an interesting reflective one because it's more reflecting on, and you guys could do it from your own perspective, you know, what do you do your own self personally to, you know, better engage with youth or have youth or even anybody. It doesn't, you know, it kind of ties into Anne's idea of the community better challenge too. You know, what do you need to do to get people more excited and involved in recreation? So we could make it as specific as working with youth, or you could make it fairly broad, like what are some of the personal characteristics and traits that you know, make a great recreation leader be, or something like that. So excellent. So it sounds like we've got two. Thorsten's got opportunities and challenges around engaging youth in recreation. We could bring a personal theme in there too, like, you know, what it could be sort of broad or it could be fairly specific. So maybe what we'll do is we'll look at, I'll try and figure out sort of a evaluation question that tie in to both of those, you know, like the engaging people and more in recreation from a personal perspective and maybe from a program perspective too. And then we could look at that next week when we start to brainstorm some questions and some ways to ask those questions. If that sounds good to you and you're in the chat, just say yes, no, or maybe, or we can just go around quickly. Spider, does that sound all right to you for a topic?
Yes.
Okay, Anne, that sounds okay? And Spider said yes, awesome. And Tegan, that would work for you too because you suggested part of that. So I'm going to try and look at from a program, like a personal leader program to community perspective maybe. We'll see if that works. I have to play around with the idea a little bit and I'll share it with you next week then if that sounds okay. So you guys got to choose it because you were on the call today. That wraps up our call for today. I always stay on the call after I stop the recording, so if you have any questions about what we talked about or about this week's required learning activity, which is due on Sunday, then please stay on the call afterwards. And just for yourself and anybody else who will be listening to the call, try and work on your required learning activities by the due dates because this one can take a little bit more time than what you might be used to. And then our next learning event after RP102 is a lot lighter. So it will give you a break after that. So thanks so much. Merci, Cho. Merci. Thank you. And have a wonderful afternoon and stay on the line after I stop the recording if you have any questions. Bye.